Hi, this is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And I am so excited to have you with me today, those of you listening. First of all, I'm very grateful to have you listening to my show. I'm very grateful to have this station. I'm grateful for the life that I have, and that's why I do the show, Tantra Cafe. It's an amazing life. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. I greet you in peace, and I always will greet you in peace. So this evening, I have a special show with a special guest who is going to talk about the quality of men who love women and becoming sexual healers, like all men becoming sexual healers. And I'm just piquing your curiosity for a second because I want to actually address that. You know, sometimes people come to Tantra and to a Tantra class, and when I or another Tantra teacher says that we're learning to live more in the feminine aspect, which means to receive more, people think that that's anti-man, anti-men, anti-male. Sometimes people and men in my classes have reported this to me, that the listening out there is so, of men, seems to be so defensive because of what happened in the 60s and 70s and the women's liberation movement and women bashing men for so long that, you know, that people hear the words, we're learning to live more in the feminine, and they get really nervous and scared because they think, oh no, here's another aspect of male bashing. And so I want to just take a shot at that. I want to say that is so wrong. That is so not what Tantra is about. We are learning, all of us are learning to live with our feminine aspect. That's women and men are learning to live inside and with our feminine aspect to balance it with our male aspect, because for many years, we've had to live inside of our male aspect to just make it in this world, to make it in this culture. Mostly what is revered, what is valued, is a sense of analysis, a sense of judgment, a sense of thoughts, a gathering of knowledge, a way to interpret very heady stuff, which could all be deemed to be in the male polarity of all of us. It doesn't mean men. It means male polarity, male aspect, thinking and evaluating, those kinds of things. So when we say Tantra and we say we're balancing the feminine with the masculine, we're just bringing in the qualities of intuition, the qualities of feeling, the qualities of sensation, those kinds of things. So I just want to put to rest that there's any kind of male bashing going on in Tantra, at least not in my Tantra and not in the Tantra that I know. And tonight when we speak about men becoming sexual healers, which my guest is an authority on, I welcome that. The reason he's my guest is because I'm so excited about the possibility of men working that way with women. So that is the appetizer for this evening on Tantra Cafe. That's the piece of demystification, if you will, and I'm happy now to move right to my guest and to the main course. So let me tell you a little bit about him. My guest tonight is Robert Allen. He's a Tantra teacher and a life coach living in rural Northern California. He lives with his wife, LaSara Firefox, and their two little girls. He's recently completed a home course for men who love women and want to love them better. So already I love this guy, Robert Allen, because, you know, he's thinking about men who love women and men who want to love women better. I mean, how bad is that? And actually, that's why I invited him to the show, because I saw that and I couldn't resist. I thought none of you could resist hearing about this either. And the program, the home course study that he's put together is entitled All Men Are Sexual Healers. He's eternally a Pollyanna, and he believes that love will heal the world. And, you know, again, I got to love this guy. Like, That's kind of me too, and many of my friends. So you can find out more about him and his work at RogueTantra.com. And we're going to hear from him now, and we'll hear, you know, why you'd want to get in touch with him. So, Robert, are you there? I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Lori. And that was a great demystification in the beginning, a really nice introduction to me. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. It's my pleasure to have you here. So let's just go shoot right to it. How did you become interested in Tantra?
Well, for me, I went to undergrad and grad school and studied comparative lit, and it was sort of this scholastic overview of pretty much romance languages and Dante and talking about the divine feminine all the time in a very literary context and a very separate context from my actual experience reading medieval work. And I started thinking about some of the tropes that were introduced about the divine feminine being this thing that can lead us forward into both our inner lives and our outer experience by sort of being more receptive to the world, as you mentioned in the beginning. And I started to look around at mystical traditions that fit within that. And Tantra was this amazing, you know, 6th and 7th century AD thing that was just astounding. It was all there. All of the Western sensibility about the divine feminine had a completely worked out process of kind of becoming a more whole person and also becoming co-creative with the divine, which was astounding to me because the separation in Western literature, which I was studying, of our ability to change the world and have the divine force separate in a way. And then I looked into Tantra and talking about how we're co-creative with eternity, that everything we do as people and interactively makes this experience that we have. I just thought that was gorgeous, and I started to study it more and work more with Eastern traditions. And then where it really fit in for me is I realized if you really elevate and realize that everything around us is divine and divinely beautiful, including our friends and our partners and our family, the very idea of community, the idea of community, becomes this sort of greater charge for me. So connecting with people as divine force is what sort of entered me into Tantra. And then, of course, like most folks in the West, I was interested in Neo-Tantra and sacred sexuality, which is very powerful. And as I got into that, I looked more into the history of it and integrating it all together. And that's why my site is Rogue Tantra, because I sort of take it beyond the sex-positive trope, which is very powerful and very important to all of us, that we heal that very Western wound. But I look at bringing sort of the mystical traditions into the present world and how we evaluate ourselves, how we evaluate the world.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's really, so you got, you know, it sounds like you got started relatively early if you went straight from undergraduate and graduate school in literature over to, you know, finding another way of looking at the world and looking at Tantra. And that's that's just a great start for you. I always say that if I had found Tantra when I was in college or just after college, if I had found Tantra when I was in my 20s, my life would have gone really differently than it did. And, you know, I have no regrets. I learned what I learned. I got what I got. It's been a great life. And it's so much more sane now and so much more, I'm so much more at peace than I ever have been. And that's because I've been practicing Tantra since 96. But I found it in my late 40s, so I'm a little envious that you found it right after graduate school. It's a great time, and I imagine that your family is blessed with a notion that you, that you have found something and you found a way to embrace and find everything sacred and divine. It's wonderful. Thanks so much for doing that.
Oh, thank you, and it's wonderful that you mentioned family, which is often left out in the West when we talk about Tantra. Indeed, you know, you hope that if you're a yoga practitioner, you hope your kids just watch you and follow the hope of anyone with shared family values. And indeed, it's true. My family comes from multiple belief sets, and my wife comes out of a Western and Eastern tradition. And yes, it's so powerful in the home, and it's so powerful for the home. I think the idea of Neo Tantra, in some ways, because of its sexual focus, has taken away the other practices of Tantra that we can practice with our family or friends that are not sexual in nature at all. But,
yeah. When you say Neo, so when you, what you mean, because other people use Neo too, like there's Neo Tantra, there's Neo Tango. I tango, so I pay attention to that Neo stuff. So when you say Neo, you mean the stuff that Westerners practice that's come into the West that's so, the thing that I try to break the hype on every week when I debunk the myths and demystify Tantra, I do that every single week on my show in my appetizer. And I think that's what you're talking about, like where I talk about, you know, it's not all sex. Sex is one little part of it. Yes, you can use it for great sex, but there's so much more.
Indeed, that's very true. And thank you for asking me for this clarification. Neo-Tantra, when I use that term, I'm using it after the Industrial Revolution and the Western experience with India. The first writings that were imported into the West were about the chakras, which are very beautiful, and quite a few tantras about sexuality. We had a big wound in the West after the Victorian age, and I think people got very interested in the sexual and spiritual possibilities of tantra practice, which is unbelievably powerful in itself. And in that excitement, and in the beginning of the sex-positive revolution, if you want to give it a name, in the 60s, where people started looking to sacralize sex and make it an important interactive thing in life, we grabbed onto it again. But now, with the popularity of yoga and Eastern traditions in general, American Buddhism and Tantra, people are looking at the whole path, and I think that we're going to see further integration of people learning all kinds of stuff that Tantra has to offer.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I say, too, if we're doing the work, you know, of really connecting people to their inner core and to their sameness with others, to their getting that, you know, we really are all one, that everything I do, say, think, feel, experience, sense is really me, my experience of the world, and somewhere on another side of the world, someone's also feeling my vibration, and I'm breathing the same air as you're breathing, and you're in California, and I'm in New York, and we're sharing an experience, and we are global, even though it's only been recently that people have felt that way, or we're even more than global, we're universal if we feel connected to the whole universe and all matter and everything, like quantum physics. So this idea that people are waking up, they're finding their way to this cosmic consciousness, if you will, and in so doing, I don't care how they get interested. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Like if they come and they're thinking, well, I'm going to have better sex, and that's the way they get here, and then through the seeming, you know, seemingly the conquest of trying to master what it is to have better sex, to have ejaculation control, or to be able to have amazingly long orgasmic time and or G-spot, you know, whatever people, you know, come to it for, with these, they kind of think it's neo-porn, actually. And then they get there and they find out that it's all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they wake up, because many do choose to wake up this way. It's fine with me. I don't care what they're thinking when they come through the door.
I think that's a beautiful attitude. And in the West, oftentimes where we need to wake up, unfortunately, is through our sexuality. And I think that's why Tantra appeals most immediately, is because we think, wow, this thing that I've been told is bad is really amazing, and it's God-given, and it's astounding, and God is given, whatever you want it to be.
Right.
And there's the opening right there. From there, you can move beyond all of it. You can keep sex, but you can also move into other forms of power that you have that you didn't realize.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that which we were taught was bad is so great. And you know, the other piece is that sex, the sex chakra, to enter, to let information and consciousness enter through the sex chakra is such a powerful experience. One of my other guests, who's very, very familiar with all the classical tantric texts and everything, he's really done his homework in the ancient texts and writings and stuff. His name is Michael Dean Goodman, and he said that it's kind of a cosmic joke, you know, that the creator planted all this powerful stuff in the sex chakra, and then, you know, it's kind of hidden there. And then to have the cultural overlays of guilt and shame and blame and all this stuff on top of it, and then to find out that it's so powerful, it's such a it is such an opening when people discover the sacredness and the energy of it. You know, it's amazing. So
it's very true. And then people, I believe, start carrying that new erotic feeling and understanding with them after they've had sex. And I start carrying it everywhere, that sort of divination and shine of everything. And I think that's where people start asking questions. Like, okay, I'm open now. I shared myself with a partner or with myself. What am I going to do next? And I think it's a beautiful place to be.
Right. Very nice. Very, very nice. Well, just let me tell people what they're listening to in case they just tuned in. If you did just tune in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I'm speaking with my guest today, Robert Allen, who is a Tantra teacher in Northern California, and he has completed inventing a home course of study for men who love women and want to love women better, entitled All Men Are Sexual Healers. And you can reach Robert at roguetantra.com. If you have any questions for me about my show or any of my guests, you can reach me at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com. We're going to take a little break now. We're going to just take a short commercial break, Robert, and we'll be back. And when we come back from the break, we'll start delving into this whole course of study that you have for men. I'm so excited. I'm at the edge of my chair. I can't wait. All right, so we'll be right back, okay? Everyone, stay tuned to Tantra Cafe. Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex? Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex? Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of East Garden? East Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. East Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/Tantra Cafe. Go there now. Welcome back, everyone, to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And I'm here tonight with Robert Allen, a most amazing man who has a training program, a home course of study for men who want to love their women better. So, Robert, we're going to just jump the bridge. There's probably some more you can tell me about your teaching of Tantra, where you teach it and how long you've been teaching and, you know, some of your favorite things. And hopefully you'll be able to weave that in with telling me about this training program. I just can't wait to hear about the training program, so I'm going straight to it, if you don't mind.
Not a bit.
Okay, good. So how did you come up with this idea?
Well, I currently live in Northern California, but I lived in Seattle for a very long time, and I taught a number of classes on Tantra and relationship. My previous work prior to being a Tantra teacher and coach, I mentioned studying comparative lit. I'm interested in the world, so I didn't work in comparative lit. I was actually a social worker. And I work with chronically mentally ill folks.
sure.
Spirit. That's the best idea, only fair. So I transitioned forward from that and tried very hard to think, what are the mind aspects, the part of our relational energetics with other people that we can draw out of Tantra? And I, you know, the first thing I noticed was, of course, the divinity of the person across from us at the table, or the divinity of the person with us in bed. And then I looked, especially reading Jung and authors like Robert Johnson, about structures of where the West has ended up with male and female and masculine and feminine. You mentioned that before. And, of course, there's a lot of, whether it's nature or nurture, and I tend not to get into that. That's a longer question. Men tend to be more goal-oriented, and women tend to be more relationally oriented. Whether that's the way we've been brought up, or whether that's the way that culture produces it, it's very confusing with media and biology. We put it all together. It's very hard these days. But I just noticed that it's true. It's pragmatically true. Sometimes guys just keep rolling past relationship issues. They don't notice that someone's hurt. They rush through sex. And I believe very much with the psychologist Robert Johnson that men have a relational wound. We have this injury that we're afraid if we entered into this sort of dark abyss of relationship and women in relationships, then we're going to lose our goal-setting abilities and we won't be able to build a city. But I always say, we're going to lose it all. We can't build a car. We can't build a city. We're just going to sit here and be in love. And I think, you know, I joke about it, but I think it's really true. And I, you know, we thought, you mentioned in the beginning your statement on demystifying masculine feminine. You know, we've seen isms, I call them, since the 60s of men sitting here and women sitting here and men sitting here, and they very seldom talk to each other. And it's been an issue that I've had with relationship programs for a long time. You know, interactivity is the result of interactivity. It's two people talking, it's two people making love, it's two people creating the same thing together. So mixing those ideas together, I started doing a class in Seattle, Washington called Almaner Sexual Healers, and initially I just called it a roundtable seminar for men who want to step up. And it didn't really have a point of view in the beginning. I came from the idea of Tantra that we have awareness and discernment to make our decisions, and that when we make them, we have to be there 100%. We have to be totally present, both in our body, which is an injury that both men and women have, but men especially have it. They don't pay attention. They hurry through sex. They just keep working and not paying attention to their relationship with their body. And then, of course, what we do emotionally back and forth with men and women. And then on a spirit level, I'm thinking, where can we apply Tantra to counseling? And what came up over and over again, it's a powerful tool for an individual, for a woman, for a man. But for me, what I was drawn into was the way I saw men healing past sexual injuries, social assumptions, the way they treated women, the way they interact with women. Plus, I saw very much unhappiness with men's programs and men's groups that they either too, and I would put these in quotes, too sensitive or too macho. And then we're too spiritual, and it's too sensitive kept coming up a lot. These guys are saying, how can I be sensitive about desire? If I want to have sex, I want to have better sex, and I want to communicate better with a woman, and I really want to learn. And mostly it was men who were over 35 who were coming to this class, who've been through the isms. They thought, wow, if I desire a woman, I'm making her laugh. Or if I desire a woman, I'm being a man. It was all these different messages they couldn't figure out. So what they found themselves doing was pulling away from desire, flirting, and moving toward any further embodiment because they were afraid of hurt over and over again. They weren't sure if they were supposed to say to someone, I really want you, because there's been all kinds of cultural messages about if they don't care, if it's not. So I wanted to create a circle of safety where it is okay to say, I want you, where it's okay for the other person to say, well, I don't want you in the same way, and it's absolutely okay. It's not sad for anybody. It's agreement. I've said for a long time that agreement is the sexiest thing we've been waiting for, always. And I saw in Tantra that we could come to agreement by relating to each other as divinity and as people who are going to co-create. So the class was born about men who want to co-create their relationship. They don't want to define it about what they think it is before they start. And so what I started doing in this course, we start with embodiment practices, learning our body as men. And this is taken from multiple sources of cognitive behavioral therapy, from the body electric school and from Tantra, different ideas from everywhere about men getting in tune with their sexual body, their erotic body, their muscular body, paying attention to their breathing. So it starts with that and builds up. And I work through also discernment and awareness and how we think about relationships. And also works through community orientation, how we activate ourselves in a community and what that means to be co-creative. That we can't just be focused
on our own goals, rushing around. We have to stop and play. And play is a very important word.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, learning, you mentioned before, the play of Shiva. Shiva says this is a big thing that we need to play in. We shouldn't take it so seriously, you know, within classical Hinduism. So just play. It's all this little joke, as you said, that's hidden in our in our lower body. And what's in there is so powerful. So I started working with men around this. And then the other piece that I mentioned that I found missing a lot was the interplay of women in men's groups. So I decided to come up with a training program where I interviewed women, but really let them push the dialogue, run the dialogue, say what they want to say as women trainers who are experts in sexuality and healing and relationships. That's a real skill set, but they're also women talking to guys who want to show up in relationships, who want to learn embodiment skills, who want to be good lovers, who want to be better men, who want to be better dads. That it's an integrative approach that realizes that we have to change our whole self toward this happiness and this push and this responsibility for the choices we make. So I got women from diverse trainings who are so smart, so wonderful, and so skilled, and it includes Tula Suwis, who did the film Divine Nectar about female ejaculation, and Robin Lynn, who's an embodiment expert up in Seattle, and the porn star Nina Hartley, talking about women, porn, misogyny, what her position is, the Tantrika Adamarti, and she's also a tantra teacher, talking really wonderfully about men being honest and sharing their feelings, both of desire and when they're confused. And then closing out with Lazar Firefox, talking about the spiritual aspects, integration,
mm-hmm.
bringing yourself together. And also within the course, there's a long ebook and worksheet, and then me talking about Tantra, sort of an introduction. So merging it all together, it's been so amazing. And I have a men, group of men right now, 19 men in the group, and it's so powerful, so awesome. And I get really excited about it because everybody showed up to do this project, and it's quite beautiful. I'm not bragging saying that, it's my spirit singing that this actually happened.
Well, it's not, congratulations, you have to be congratulated about it. It's not, you know, it's not bragging, it's what's needed, and you provided, you're filling a missing, you know, like there's a missing slot about men talking with each other about how to love women better. There has been a missing slot. There's been men in reaction to the women's movement. You know, there's been women in reaction to men. There's been men in reaction to women. It's been, so all of a sudden you came up with this idea, you know, based on everything you just said, and congratulations. It's wonderful.
Well,
I can't wait to get, you wrote me an email saying that you were going to send me, you know, my copy of it for evaluation. I can't wait.
Oh, great.
I'm so excited about it, really. You know, my corporate vision, the name of my company is Butterfly Workshops, and my corporate vision and everything that I do is in the under the umbrella, women and men dancing in eternal ecstasy on Earth now. So how are we going to dance on Earth now in ecstasy if there aren't people like you?
Well, thank you. And I have to say the women trainers who are in this project and the men who are showing up are so astounding. And the message is really commonly the same. It's really common, very recently divorced. It's not just for divorced men, but who's moved by it, I'm noticing, is men who are a little older, have kids that are perhaps teens, don't live with them, have found themselves in a very modern sense of little disability, divorced, single, their kids live somewhere else, and they want something else because they've done the dating thing, they've tried marriage, and they're a little older, so they've been through the shifts that have happened in the last 10 years.
Right.
And the common theme they bring up is, I don't know how to say I want to be with you. And then if I feel like I give up my goal and calm down into relationship and just sort of sit around the fire with my lover, I feel nervous that I'm not doing enough, that I'm supposed to be out doing something.
Right.
And it's no matter how much we try and deny it in gender politics, these messages are firmly implanted into us as men and women. And that's why it's so hard to figure out where they come from. But they're there, is my whole point. And these are men who want to move beyond that. And lose
their fear. Great.
You mentioned the opening to the feminist beginning. The all beneficial healers comes from the sort of point of view that the feminine, in the context you mentioned, is our inner life. And that men tend to deny their inner life is less important. Like, why be dreamy? Why fantasize? Go out and get it done. Go out and fix a car. And once men start looking at the inner life, they can be kind of broken up.
right.
talk about our feelings. We don't do that. But I think men want to. And younger guys are getting attached to this and coming to the classes and calling in. I think it's great that they want to get some clear messaging and some ideas and an organization around relationships before they get a whole bunch of cultural messages. I think mm-hmm. that's fabulous that men want to change that way.
That's just fantastic. Again, congratulations. It's wonderful, wonderful message. You know, I look at, I'm a little older, so I must be in the group of people that you're talking about these men who are older and they've been through a couple of marriages and maybe their kids don't live with them or whatever. I look at my generation as being the experimental generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we had, I'm part of the early baby boomers and we came out, bam, you know, more of us than anywhere, any other number, a group of people in the history of at least this country. And we came out and everything happened during my generation that changed the world forever, like the birth control pill, the computer, walking on the moon, anti-war demonstrations, drugs, sexual liberation, women's liberation. So I think the men that you're talking about, the older men that you're talking about in these groups, are men who have been bashed a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the course of women trying to find themselves other than someone who wears an apron, you know, or someone who just is home taking care of the kids but isn't recognized as having a job or, you know, whatever. I'm not going to go through all the women's lib issues, but I think those men took a lot of heat, just as the men who and women who came back from Vietnam and were not welcomed back to the United States because we were in a war that was very unpopular. I think the same kind of thing. I think all men of a certain, you know, two decades were completely bashed over. I mean, I can remember sitting, you know, in a bar and going to light a cigarette and a guy coming over, you know, with a match and me saying to him, "What do you think, my hands don't work? I can light my own cigarette." You know, like that. It was just, that's, you know, that was the day. And so I think a lot of men, you know, they were hurt. And they're also so paranoid about hurting someone. So they've just learned to shut down. They just don't know, you know, they knew what it was like. You know, growing up, they kind of knew what it was like to ask someone to dance and ask someone on a date and buy her dinner or, you know, buy her a corsage or whatever. But then the whole world turned topsy-turvy. And I think finding their way back to their own empowerment and then really loving women. There are women now around who are available to be loved instead of just making a political point.
Indeed. And very true. You bring...
I'm just saying, you know, we're talking about my life.
You brought up great points, and the series of testimony, my teaching in the series on marriage and sexual healing comes to the point that there have been definite gender violations in the Western world that have been attempting to change themselves, especially in the last 60 or 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in those processes, there's a lot of confusing messages that aren't really against the women's fault. But, yeah, men did get some confusing messages for sure. And that's what they always bring to me, those older men that you're talking about, and by older, over 40, that they're not
right.
so sure because they really, they have what I'm seeing with men, younger men, and men especially that age group around 40 to 45, is they're very aware of history. And maybe they've taken it to such a degree that they're taking responsibility for the behaviors of men in the past. And I agree very much with, the psychologist Robert Johnson, that if we have complete awareness, acceptance, and realization about a past evil, and we choose not to continue it, we're not responsible for it. We need to keep it, be mindful of it, I believe, and not continue those practices where women are disempowered. But if we move forward with some equality and some vast attempt to change, I think that that's a heroic effort on the men's part. And that's what I would reward them with. Their confusion is really awesome. The fact that they're confused means they care.
Yeah.
Care is a beautiful beginning to anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, a couple of things come to mind as you're speaking. One is I've had tantra classes where I took all the men in the class and sat them up at the front, like you know, like putting them on a stage, but they weren't on a stage, just that, sitting up at the front. And then I said, if you could have and ask women for anything, what would you ask them for? And they, each one of them, every single one would say, I just want her to say what she wants. I just want to know what she wants. And then I look at the women and I just start laughing. I say this in my book too. I have this in my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Women don't know what they want. You know, like women, and even when they know what they want, like they change their mind every couple of minutes. So how could men, women really haven't been educated to say straight what they want. So, you know, men are left in that quandary. That's like one piece that just occurs to me as you're speaking, like, and how men could get bashed, you know, just not even straight, just kind of like get lost in like a washing machine, tossed around by a woman not knowing what she wants, not having the power or the ability or the permission to say what she wants, and then also not being able to cleanly say, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I got to tell you something. I changed my mind. I want to inform you, you know, rather than just acting on the mind change and not speaking. That's like one piece. And then another piece is also in Tantra, we do pujas, you know, and I'm sure you've been in a puja or two where, at least in mine, we heal all the relationships that have gone in the past between women and men so that we can operate from a clean slate from here on.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, because there's so much damage that takes place in every, whether it's mother, son, father, daughter, sister, brother, first love, first sexual experience, first, you know, deep relationship, you know, all these things, not to mention rape and pillage and ownership and, you know, all the things from other cultures that, you know, that are in our DNA and you know, other cultural overlays and then different things that are still going on in the world. So all these things, one of the beauties of Tantra, I think, is to try and make an effort to heal these things ritualistically, symbolically, so that people can move on.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Along the lines of something you said there, the thing about relation and women changing their minds, we talk about that in this series, put it in the context that we try and look at the things that men and women do separately. Not as positive, but sort of as ambivalent. They don't really have a lot of meaning as a good or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and then sometimes if you clean it up that way, then later you can come back to it and give it a perception or a judgment that means you personally. And within the context of this course, that ability to change your mind, I talk with men about how that's a good thing. It is a great thing. It means you're aware of the communication that's going on, whether internally or actively with people around you. And sometimes changing your mind is awesome, and sometimes, not always, that's the hardest thing, changing your mind. And, you know, the reverse of truth is true, of course, sometimes starting a little more goal setting and a little less relational stuff is good, but I think it's balancing it out, not 50-50, but trying to have the other gender's experience more often. And we do meditation to try and conceive what that might be like. And I think those are really helpful, even if it's simply a game of the mind, your heart isn't going to move toward the idea. It's a powerful experience. Think, what would it be like to sit in a woman's experience just for a day? And that in itself is a meditation that anybody could spend the rest of their life talking about. They just really went into it.
Beautiful. Well, we need to take another break, so we'll come back to this same topic here just in a few moments. So in case you've just tuned in, this is Laurie Handler at Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. And I'm here today with Robert Allen, and we are talking about what else? We're talking about Tantra, and we're talking about how Tantra starts to heal the genders in their relating to each other. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone.
Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Everyone, we're back on Tantra Cafe, and I want to thank you for staying tuned. This is Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment, and it's on bbsradio.com. I'm Laurie Handlers, and just before we come back to my guest, Robert Allen, I want to share with you the music you just listened to a piece of. It's called Om Mani Padme Hum. It's by Craig Pruess, who I happen to know. Wonderful artist, does a lot of really great sacred songs, and this is on the Savasana CD from White Swan Yoga Master. And I chose Om Mani Padme Hum today because the literal translation of that chant, well, first of all, it's such a great rendition of it. It's so, I don't know, very grounding and very Shiva, very strong voiced and feminine in the sense of grounding. And anyway, I chose it because Om Mani Padme Hum, literally translated, means jewel in the lotus. And you know, you may have listened to some of my guests talking about how things aren't so obvious, like when Tantra went underground and became a verbal transmission rather than a written transmission. It had to go from teacher to student. Certain things were left in the hidden. So what looked obvious was not necessarily the message that the teacher wanted the student to get, but wanted other people to not know. So jewel in the lotus sounds like a jewel in a lotus, but what it really is sexual union. And it's the ecstasy state that's possible to reach through tantric connection of partners, of a male and female. So just, you know, a little play there, because Robert and I are talking about healing the relationship between men and women, women and men, and so that they can dance in eternal ecstasy on earth. So anyway, that's why I chose this song today. So Robert, we're back, and a couple of things that I got reminded of in the last segment, after we talked about puja and healing and the work that, the amazing work that you're doing with these men. Of course, the thought has now just left me. It just says I'm saying it. So we'll just keep talking and I'll see if it comes back.
Great.
So what's your plan? Like, what is your plan with this course of study? I mean, is it brand new? Did you just come out with it?
Oh, it's brand new, and I've been doing a pre-sale. It's actually going on sale on November 1st. And
okay.
other folks, other tantra practitioners and stores, website stores will be hosting it. I'm still working that out. And so I think it'll be pretty available in different places. It's absolutely available on my website. And the thing that I'm most excited about, beyond the fact that it's women and men talking about stepping up, is that one of the things that I came to in tantra was further awareness of myself and other people. And it's the world, the universe. It's one of the great gifts of it. And I came to absolutely new awareness about the environment. Not obsessive fear, not over-worry to the point that it's taking up my whole mind, which is where many people are leading with the environment now. I think we just need to all make choices. And this product is completely green, and I'm really excited about that. It consists of electronic MP3s and PDFs. So people can burn it themselves when they get it at home, absolutely, if they'd like to put it on a disc or print it out. But it makes it easier in the transfer. Also, there's no carbon footprint, which when I first thought of it, I thought that's not a big deal. But then the more I thought about it, I'm super excited. And it's a bit of a side note, but I believe that increased consciousness of body and spirit also leads to increased consciousness about the earth. So I like that the internet is making it so we can be educated by and also save the planet at the same time.
Hmm.
I'm not an anti-technology person. I believe technology and tantra go hand in hand. Makes me excited about it.
That's beautiful. Well, let's tell people they can get it at roguetantra.com.
Absolutely.
That's roguetantra.com. That's where you can get this product. And the name of the product is called All Men Are Sexual Healers. Yay! You know, I just want to tell you something. When I got that email from you that said that you'd like me to evaluate it, and it said on the side note that it was a totally green product, that turned me on.
Oh, great. Great. I hope to see more of our peers doing the same. I think it's an awesome, awesome thing.
Somebody just ordered my book. You know, I have a book that's, you know, in book form, which, you know, I wanted to have my whole life a book.
Oh, absolutely.
And I have a book. And so I do this 2-for-1 special. If people buy my book, they can bring another person for the price of one person to my Bliss, my first level course. So someone bought the book online and the ebook, and I wrote her and I said, well, the twofer is really for the book. You know, the printed book. And then she said, oh, I thought I was like doing the right thing for the environment. And so I said, well, you are, you know, so what? You can have a twofer.
That's great.
I just didn't think about it. You know, it's like one of those things. It's a level of being conscious.
Indeed, and it came to me in a really interesting way. I thought I was all, you know, I felt I always did the right thing for the environment, but the more that I do yoga and breath and get into tantra, I feel more connection and also that I'm more comfortable in my choices. It doesn't make me nervous. It's not troubling me all the time. I'm just saving myself, saving my mama, saving the planet, saving us all. And if we all move that way, I think, you know, that's the ultimate outcome of tantra.
Yeah, fantastic. Really fantastic. So let me ask you this, going leading back to, you know, because we're coming on to the end of the hour shortly. So, excuse me, if you were going to leave my listeners with something, you know, like a gift. I like to have, you're like the main course this evening, but I also like to give people in this, you know, along with the theme of cafe, I like to give people like a tantra piece to go, tantra takeout.
Nice.
And if you were to, you know, if I were to ask you, is there some, you know, nugget of information or practice or a thought you want people to take with them, you know, when we end this show, is there anything? Is there any piece that you could think to give them as a to go?
Oh, indeed, that's an awesome question. I think that mystical traditions, Tantra, there can be some entry level difficulties in terminology and ideas, and then sometimes we can get lost in the details. It's beautiful to look into the Tantras and study, but if you just reduce the ritual to this, the same focus, intensity and bliss that you take a walk, that you share a meal with your family, and that you make love with your partner, bring the same focus to all three of those things in exactly the same way, in exactly the same excitement, in exactly the same interactivity. You're tasting the food, it's in your mouth, it's tasting you, there's a person across from you, they're tasting, you're taking a walk, you're connecting with, if it's in the city, the spirit of the buildings and the people around and the noise, or if it's in the country, it's the rural life and the animal life, the trees. And if it's with a partner, connect with their body, not with your idea of what sex is going to be. Have the same openness that you have with a meal or a walk about what you're going to have is going to come as it comes, and it's going to be an astounding experience that can make you full. And I just like to leave with that one, absolutely.
That's just beautiful. That really is beautiful. Letting go of all the pictures, the addictions, the notions, the attachment to how it has to be, and like being fully present to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just a beautiful, beautiful thought, you know, to be left with. Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah. So everybody who is listening in, if you've been listening to this show, to my show here at Tantra Cafe with Robert Allen, you can reach him by going to his website, which is roguetantra.com, and I hope that you go there and that you find it within your heart to either purchase All Men Are Sexual Healers for yourself or purchase it for a man that you love who loves you.
That's awesome.
That's really great. And listen, can you give us the price on this?
Of course. Until November 1st, it's $99. It's a pre-sale. And
okay.
Then after that, it goes up to $249. And
wow.
It's made up of seven MP3s and PDF worksheets and an ebook. It's quite a lot of information and a lot of interactive information with interactive media. So until the first, I'm offering that for ease, and then after that, it's going to go to its normal price.
Fantastic. Really, really great. It's a wonderful creative effort on your part. And here's what I wanted to say earlier. What I love is, you know, I can tell men the same message, and often I do. I mean, I rarely bash men. I mean, it's like I want to boost men up and have them feel complete and whole and attractive and powerful and sexy and manly. And and by the same token, when I say what I have to say to them, it's still I'm a woman saying it. So I love knowing that you're out there. I'm thrilled knowing that you're out there because you're a man saying it to men. And, you know, the bridge is a little less, the bridge is more, or the slide is more greased when it comes from a man saying it to a man, or a man like cleanly speaking, listen, this is who we are, this is what we can do, this is why we're here together. So I very much honor you. I'm glad to know you're in this world. And I'm looking forward to when we can meet face to face.
Well, thank you, Lori. I appreciate the time, and I thank you for it.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So everybody, I am going to wish you well this evening. I'm going to sign off with namaste. I thank you so much for listening to the show. I thank you for all of the people that helped put the show together, Sass and Don and my commercial sponsors. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com, or you can go to my other website, tantracafe.com, and you can hear lots of replays from my Tantra Cafe shows. Please go to my website to find out where I am in the world and what I'm doing these days. If you're even in the New York area, there's the New Life Expo, but I'm just going to let you go to the website and see
how you can connect with me. I'm wishing you much love, and I'll see you next time.